Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, new setup, new faces, new champions. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
What is up, everybody? We are live right here on AfterBuzzTV.com. You can download and watch us on all forms of media as we get ready to break down SmackDown as it moves to Friday night. What is up, everybody? Josh Tariff is here getting ready to break down the entire show.
What did
Gabby
say?
Is off this week, but Mr. Tom Connelly's here. Oh, I'm sorry, you're interrupting me. What?
What did you just say?
I was just starting the show saying we're on all different platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube.
No, before that.
My little intro about the new faces, new champions.
Are you telling me you have a different name right now?
Oh, that I went by Josh Tariff?
How long have we been doing this show?
A long time. Almost 6 years.
And now you just say you just changed your name?
Oh, I get it. Because of my wrestling name, Christian Rosenberg.
I thought that was your real name.
No, you didn't. That's one of the worst damn kept secrets here at AfterBuzz. Was the Christian Rosenberg Josh Tariff multi persona?
When I took over main event for you, you said, "Tom, I as Christian Rosenberg is giving you this show. Take care of it."
Okay. Well, here's kind of the quick little reason for it, because obviously I still work as Christian Rosenberg in various wrestling companies around California. Mm. However, I'm also been doing more and more work in some other areas for sports and voiceover and different things like that. And Josh Tariff is my real name, which a lot of people already knew.
That's crazy.
People find ways.
My mind is blown right now, people.
But so it's becoming crazier and crazier in a good way. But then having to deal with the detailed explanation of my Twitter and Instagram, how it's this name, but I'm going by this name, and I did this character, this. So it's like, we're going to keep everything, even Steven.
Okay.
So I still am the same guy. I'm just going by my real name on the show now.
Okay, I'm
going
to go by my real name now, okay? Christian Rosenberg.
Yes. That's Christian Rosenberg. Mine has been blown.
I should have changed my hit Twitter handle to that. That would have been really funny.
Well, already our chat roll is ready to go. For already Manj San, who says Christian Rosenberg is Josh Tariff's NXT name.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. He got caught onto the main roster.
Yeah, I got the call, guys.
He still has two names, though. He didn't lose the last name yet.
And apparently a few people actually thought Christian was my real name. Wow. Kayfabe is alive. It is still alive. Hey, but like I said, Gabby had a last-minute gig, so unfortunately she's not here this week. She'll be back next week, where we'll be doing it again next Tuesday. And then from there, our SmackDown After Show will be on Sundays at 9 p.m. if you want to tune in live. But people have been waiting patiently. SmackDown debuted on Fox Friday night.
Yes, it did.
To a huge, huge show that a lot of people were really happy with until the end. And we're going to get into all that just for you.
Yes.
First off, let's talk about this new set they got.
Yeah. I loved it.
First off, I love the fact that Raw and SmackDown have different sets.
Yes. And I mean, completely different.
Totally different.
Don't even look like I love that they finally reached out to be like, all right, now we're making it look like a completely different show. Two completely different shows that these people are on. The cameras that they used were
more 4K cameras.
I guess I don't know exactly what they were, but they made it look so crisp and clean, and just it took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
On that, with that as well. I saw some things online where they were like going to be doing new camera angles and stuff, but I didn't see anything specific on
Friday.
It might
slowly but surely get in.
Mm-hmm. I did like, I did like one thing. The shot that they were doing from in the crowd to like when the guys were coming out on the ramp.
Yes.
I did like that. I thought that was different. It had more of the like 24 and Chronicle series. Like, it had more of that feel to it, where it was like a just a different look, and I like that. I did enjoy that. I thought that was cool, because it made you feel like you were kind of there, watching them come out, you know.
And I love, like, with the stage. So first of all, I love, for both shows, they have the complete backdrop with all the lights now all going all the way down from the ceiling, which looks really, really cool. Raw's stage is really interesting, because it's just like this giant LED wall with that one door.
Yeah. It looks like a skate ramp.
I was going to say, it's an X Games yeah. setup.
Like, I can't wait. Someone's definitely going to slide down.
Eventually, someone will. Yeah. But SmackDown looks like you're walking through a portal of some kind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
It looks so cool and so unique. And that's how you want it to blow up and make a statement when mm-hmm. you move the Fox.
Yeah.
And then you also make a statement by you have the man start off the show.
Well, we had Vince and Stephanie. I'm
not counting them walking out saying hi. That did nothing.
I mean, hey, they at least made an appearance.
Hey, they were there.
Yeah.
Becky comes out. She wanted to thank the fans because SmackDown was where the man really started mm-hmm. and ready to start the show. She's interrupted by King Corbin. And before he really can say anything, out comes The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Which you predicted correctly several weeks ago. We asked,
that
like,
the Rock
what was going to kick off SmackDown? And you said,
well, you know, me and Dwayne, you know, we're tight. Oh. He was like, hey, I'm going to be there.
You go by his real name.
I was like, sorry, man.
So you hang out with him by his real name.
Yeah, of course.
But you still just call me Christian.
He's an actor now. He's not The Rock.
What the hell am I? Oh, wait. Did I just try to compare myself to The Rock? That's a mistake. So, The Rock comes out, classic Rock. Corbin is a broke-ass Burger King on crack.
Mm.
Corbin interrupts him, saying, you're no longer the great one, tells him to know his role and shut his mouth.
But he said, know your roles. Because
he was talking to Becky, too.
Oh, gotcha. I didn't realize that. Okay. I was just like, come on, man. If you're going to at least do the catchphrase, do it right.
Rock told Corbin is a 35-year-old virgin walking around Comic-Con. Becky is the man, but she doesn't walk around with testicles. And mm-hmm. Becky was like, but if I did, they'd be much larger than
yeah.
his. Oh.
He nicknamed him Super...
Super Tough Dude.
Dude, yeah.
Super Tough Dude. He's like, STD, now you're going to have that with you forever.
Yeah. Which I... Were they saying that at Hell in a Cell? Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was funny. I like that part, too. I thought that was good.
Yeah. And then they beat him up, and they pose, and... Mm-hmm. You know, it was a feel good segment. Whenever The Rock's out there, it's a feel good segment.
But I also, in the end, because I feel like a lot of times, like, these legends come back, and they really almost like just like, bury whoever they go against.
He put Corbin over.
I was gonna say. I think it was very different. Of like, I think Corbin looked strong enough in there, you know, with them, and I mean, he held his own. Just think if you. The thing is, like, he didn't grow up really watching wrestling when he was a kid,
right?
Corbin, but like, if you were anybody that grew up watching The Rock, and then to be in the ring with him at the same time, like, and he's talking smack to you, and that's awesome.
Oh,
like that,
oh like, my God, I feel yes. like,
you know,
and,
crap in my
and
pants.
The fact that and the fact that he's putting you over, saying, no, Corbin, you're legit. Mm-hmm. You won the King of the Ring. You're mm-hmm. a Money in the Bank winner.
Yeah.
I don't think he mentioned that he's a former U.S. champion, but. Mm-hmm. But he is, and then he brought the Super Tough Dude into
yeah.
it. But that's the art of the promo. You want to build someone up mm-hmm. so then when you take the jab, it feels more vicious. Because mm-hmm. if the whole time you're saying, you suck, you're awful, you're a piece of crap, you don't deserve to be here, blah, 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 why is anyone going to pay money to see that guy in a match?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it was good that Becky kind of got a little payback as well from,
yes.
from Extreme Rules. So I think that was good. I thought it just all worked. It worked real well.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like she like made him tap either or anything like that. You know?
No, just a couple
it
shots.
Was just
a,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Becky stays put in the ring because our first match of the night is a good old women's tag team match.
Yep.
I was waiting for the Teddy Long.
No,
there it is. Josh in the booth is thrown off because now there's another Josh.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know who's talking to who in the chat. I understand. It's okay.
It's just like, it's just so confusing here. Like, they think it's just like, they think it's you on the actual panel itself and you're just like multiplaying right now. So they'll still think there's a dual personality thing going on between you and the fans here, Josh. So.
I'm cosplaying Josh in the booth right now.
And I'm cosplaying as Christian Rosenberg.
Perfect.
Oh, there we go.
Charlotte and Becky versus Bayley and Sasha. Fun match. Obviously, you have the four horsewomen in the ring together. You know that's going to be good.
Yeah.
Sasha looked like she got like a little banged up on her mm-hmm. on her either lip or cheek or something
yeah,
like that.
I think it was her lip.
And Charlotte ends up making Bayley tap out to the figure eight, mm-hmm. build the momentum, because at that point. There was no SmackDown Women's Championship match announced.
Yeah, there was like three matches announced for that pay-per-view.
So then from there, it is announced then that Charlotte would be getting the title shot against Bayley at Hell in a Cell. Now, we're filming this a couple days after Hell in a Cell happened, so we can mention, sorry if there's a spoiler, because it's really not.
Because if you watched Raw last night,
yeah,
if you watched a spoiler.
If you watched anything in the last 3 days...
Spoiler alert!
It's really not.
That scared me at first.
It's really not.
I was like, what is that?
I thought we violated some rule
now. No, I was like, what's happening?
I thought all of a sudden Josh in the booth was shutting the show down. Well, Bayley tapped again to Charlotte at Hell in a Cell, and Charlotte is now the 10-time
women's
champion.
If you go back and watch SmackDown, Michael Cole calls her a 10-time champion as she's coming to the ring.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Because I was like, I heard it, and I was like, wait.
So we didn't spoil it. Michael Cole spoiled
it
on
Friday. Yeah, he spoiled it on Friday.
Shame on you, Michael Cole.
I was just like, wait, did he call her a 10-time champion? I was like, I don't think she is the 10-time champion. And then she went on Sunday. Now they're like, oh, she's a 10-time champion. I was like, oh, well.
Well,
foreshadowing.
And obviously, if you want a more detailed breakdown all that, make sure you check out the AfterBuzz Hell in a Cell special that came out. George Hermosa did it.
Flobo.
Or was Hobo on it?
No, Flobo.
Flobo.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, was Hobo there? What? Flobo. But yeah, definitely check it out for more breakdown on those on the matches that happened at Hell in a Cell, because we might touch on things if they had to do with SmackDown, but we're not going to go into detail on those matches. That you can check out over there.
Yeah.
We get an Erin Andrews appearance on SmackDown. It's a big deal. Fox.
Yeah.
She is the top sideline sports reporter for Fox.
Yeah.
And she gets to hang out with the New Day, and I don't know if she got the memo on how the New Day acts. But I think they startled her a little bit, and then she got really into it.
She did, yeah.
But I think at first she was like, oh, you guys are excited.
Which I think is kind of...
I loved it.
I know, but I also don't... If you're going to interview someone, you're like, come on. Know, like, what's going to happen. Like, know what these guys are going to bring. Like, I don't know. I guess it was good to have her be more surprised than anything and not be just kind
but
of
I also, for the,
jump
for the,
in and be like, oh, I know everything that's happening here.
And for the Fox premiere, because, I mean, she's not going to be there on a weekly basis.
No, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so the Fox premiere, it also brings additional legitimacy to SmackDown, making it feel like it is a sporting event.
Yeah.
Because she is the top sideline reporter in sports, bar none.
Yeah.
And she's talking with mainly Kofi. He's talking about how he's always the underdog. He was the underdog for Joe, underdog for Orton. And he always came out on top. And Xavier and Big E mentioned they will not be ringside because Kofi wants to climb this mountain by himself. Seth Rollins versus Nakamura. So we have the Universal Champion on Raw versus the Intercontinental Champion for now on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So, and Flair and Hogan are ringside.
Well, barely ringside.
Barely.
Barely getting there.
They just got there. Before this match starts, we have a Firefly Funhouse edition, where I loved this because Bray, for the new Fox audience, introduced all of his friends.
Yeah.
And gave a little taste of what will happen at Hell in a Cell, where then the Buzzard just... took out a lot more cotton than what I thought was in that little rabbit.
Yeah, I know.
Which was kind of hilarious.
And if you guys haven't seen last week, Bray on all the news shows in the morning, have you seen any of those videos? Oh, you find them?
Bray went on news shows?
Oh, yeah. Like morning news shows.
As Firefly Funhouse Bray?
As like, yeah. Well, it was so funny because you know they don't know anything about wrestling because it just says just says Funhouse Bray Wyatt. That was like his
Perfect.
Name. And you're like, okay. But he was like in complete Bray Wyatt character the whole time and just like being like, yowie wowie and all this kind of stuff and just going all over the place. But like kind of like... dipping into the Fiend a little bit. And
okay.
It's very entertaining. Because these people had no idea what was going on.
Sure.
Like, you know, they don't watch it, so they're like, what is happening right now? Like, it was very entertaining. Yeah.
That sounds amazing. I think Josh in the booth was trying to get load something up for us to see well.
Yeah.
I'll give him a second while I mentioned this match. Rollins is in control of the match. Lights go out. And the Fiend shows up while Rollins standing at the end of the stage, mandible claw, and he falls off the stage from the damn mandible claw.
Which I like that, though. I like that part of him, like Rollins, like running out of the ring.
Yeah.
Because it adds another, we could see the set more kind of thing too. Yeah. So it's like, all right, yeah, let's not just do it in the ring. And like, it was weird because they were kind of shining the lights on Nakamura as well at first.
Yeah.
Like him and Seth. So it was like, is he going after Nakamura? Is he? And then like, you know, obviously he went after Seth, but.
But yeah, let's take a small snippet of what Tom was talking about with Bray on a various news outlet. It looks like Josh has got something loaded here. Yep.
Okay.
We'll give it a couple more seconds as he prepares.
Yeah.
But when wrestlers are in character on shows where they don't know.
Oh yeah.
It's so magical.
Like these people had no idea.
All right. Let's see. You good now, Josh?
Yeah. Let's get
it. All right. Let's see.
You got nice buddies. You got nice buddies that you hang out with.
I did this all. I just want everyone to love me.
Yeah. Tell me about the Funhouse. What's that about? The fireflies.
Well, it's just...
Yeah, what's that about?
It's a special place.
Yeah.
Special place where I feel safe. And in the Funhouse, no one can hurt you.
Sure.
You know, it's all about love and compassion.
Love and compassion.
And friendship.
Love, compassion, and friendship.
Friendship!
But your friend, the Fiend, doesn't seem to be very compassionate. The guy going after Seth... Why is he going after Seth Rollins?
I believe that, you know, he has a lot of things that have happened to him in his life.
Sure.
And wouldn't you just love to be able to just...
But yeah, it was a lot like that, just him in character and then like...
You know there are people on that set that are just like, what is wrong with this guy?
Especially that clip they played of him like taking the chainsaw to his old self.
Well, so again, more details on everything as far as the Hell in a Cell. Check out the Hell in a Cell After Buzz. Mm-hmm. But since Rollins did appear on SmackDown this week... We should touch slightly on what happened at Hell in a Cell with Rollins and the Fiend.
Where everyone was mad?
A lot of people were not happy. They were not happy for various different reasons.
A lot of
reasons.
Cancellations of the network, I heard.
You know, it's the yearly rant that fans have.
It's around the month of when that happens, around, you know, the next show coming up. So, you know, no controversy at that show.
No. Saudi Arabia controversy? No.
So they're just preparing for that. They're like, well, I might as well just cancel now so I don't have to cancel at the end of the
month. Yeah, so a lot of people were very upset on there essentially being like a no contest in a Hell in a Cell match. Mm. The fact that...
When, like, Mankind flew off the cell and still kept
going. And the match continued.
Yeah. And that one shouldn't have continued.
No, that one should have stopped.
Or, like, I'm pretty sure it's Lesnar and Undertaker who bled so much that the canvas was... red by the time the match was over.
and then they were upset with that. They were upset that people were upset that Seth Rollins was just beating up the Fiend so much. Mm. There are people upset that Seth Rollins gave the Fiend like a dozen finishers and he was kicking out at one.
Mm.
And then after the ref called the match, then Bray just shot back up and was perfectly fine.
Mm. Which I saw someone say it online of like, the Fiend is almost like, you gotta kill me to beat me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is, but also we've only seen him in how many matches now?
Two.
Two? Who went against?
Finn.
Oh, two matches Balor. Against Balor, right? Or did he just go against him once?
I thought it was only once. Or he might have had a match on Raw too. Just I don't remember against who though.
I believe it was just only the one match against Finn. Yeah. But I know he's had a series of dark matches as well.
Yeah. So, but yeah, at least I think it's just that one match. But so it's like, all right, he's had one match, and now you're going to put this guy in the title picture, which I think Hell in a Cell is the match to put him in, but there was no real, like, Hell in a Cell is the blow-off of the feuds.
Not the start.
No, yeah. Like, it's Sasha and Becky, yes.
Sure.
That deserved it. That deserved to be in Hell in a Cell.
And you felt that way, because that match was amazing.
Yes. I think what I would have done if I were them, I'll just say this quickly.
Okay.
Because I think you needed a way out of this match. Either you have Bray win the belt and beat Rollins, or you keep the belt on Rollins somehow. I think it was very poignant back in the beginning of the pay-per-view. Rollins did an interview where he was like, at the end, he was just like saying his catchphrase of like, I'm going to do whatever I can, or I'm going to burn it down. And I at the time, I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, in my head, I was like, oh, something's going to happen in this match. I think it would have been cool if anything, he just started throwing a bunch of stuff on Bray.
Or he made gasoline.
Or he made some kind of, like, thing with the tables, like, almost like to box him in. Uh-huh. Like, and then when he went to grab that tool case, he opened it up and there was like
gasoline,
or yeah, lighter fluid,
kerosene, or whatever. Yeah.
And then he could have like lit it on fire, and then like they could have come in with the fire extinguishers, and you would have thought that Bray was still under there, and then like he cleared everything, and Bray was gone.
Yeah.
So then it's like, all right, Bray disappeared because he has that Undertaker quality of like, you know, you could have done it in the corner. Obviously, we know he's going to go under the ring or whatever. And then Rollins is looking around for him. They obviously just call the match because Bray's missing. Bray's gone. And Rollins either is up at the top of the ramp, and then next thing you know, he just attacks him. And then they do the whole blood angle where he's like, does the mandible claw and goes after him again.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been a better way to get out of it.
Sure.
People would have been like, oh my God, that's so cool. He like disappeared. Like, or like, you know, and then it's also adding to the layer of Seth Rollins of him being like, I'm doing whatever I can to keep my title. Like, because he kind of went psycho.
Yeah.
Like, he literally took a sledgehammer to a guy's head.
Yeah.
With a tool. Like, there was a lot of things where Bray Wyatt could have gotten really hurt in the head.
See, to me, this whole match was a lose-lose situation.
Mm.
And the reason was, okay, if Bray won, mm-hmm. let's say Bray won the match and won the title,
mm-hmm.
his whole persona is everyone is terrified of him.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone wants to be the champion. So how are we going to have feasible, believable challengers if everyone seems to be afraid of approaching the Fiend? Now, say Rollins beat him. Let's just say Rollins pinned him. Now, obviously, that didn't happen. But let's say he pinned him.
Yeah.
Well, now, these months that you've built up this scary guy, one guy beat him. In his first real feud, mm-hmm. in his second match on TV, mm-hmm. and that just destroys it. So putting him in this title match was a bad idea to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Fine being in a Hell in a Cell match. Fine feuding with Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to do that, Rollins could not be champion at that time.
Yeah.
He should not be feuding with a champion for at least minimum 6 more months.
Yes. Like that's
minimum.
This is something you blow off at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like where it's like, okay,
the Fiend's finally beaten.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or no, not even no.
Or the other way.
You know what I mean? Like I think he should, if you're going to have him be this indestructible entity or whatever, like where like he kicks out of one after 12 curb stomps, then like like how is anybody supposed to beat him? And you just make him that unbeatable. Like you have Lesnar who can go, you know, get the crap beat out of him and can kick out at stuff, but like Bray's not Lesnar either.
No.
So it's, I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. It was a lose-lose.
Yeah.
I just thought, at least in my head, I was like, at least, you know, it kind of goes with Rollins of the fire and burning it down, and then like it could just add into whatever with Bray and I don't know. I just thought it was a cool idea.
Well, here's another cool idea.
Yes.
Ladder match.
Yes.
Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon. Loser gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
It's finally happening.
Finally. Gabby's so sad that Kevin Owens is gone now.
Oh, no. Oh, did you?
Tom,
did you see what happened?
Yeah, I saw Shane won.
No. Tom, we're not talking about your dreams.
Oh, no, that wasn't my dreams.
So we had all the big moves that we would expect. We had Shane deliver the elbow through the announce table. Mm-hmm. We had,
how many more times can he do that?
Well, apparently this was the last one.
Well, I know, but come on. We all don't know. We all don't believe that.
Owens did a frog splash through a ladder. Shane did coast to coast
onto the ladder, which I like that. That was new.
That was
something
cool.
New. I didn't think he was going to hit it at that time. I just thought I was like, he's going to like move or something.
Eventually, Owens powerbombs Shane on top of a ladder, climbs up, gets the briefcase. Kevin Owens wins. So Shane McMahon is fired and then gets a stunner.
Yep.
Much to the crowd's delight.
I thought it was good. They had big spots in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was entertaining.
Ah. This song is dedicated to the best in the world! Greg Hamilton's got nothing on me!
Oh, man. That was like 15 seconds. All right, I'll take over from there.
Yeah, do the rest of the show. I'm done.
Shane McMahon.
I mean, that was definitely not in tune either. I apologize to our listeners for that.
That was impressive. I can't wait till people listen to this and they're like, oh my God, is he ever going to stop?
Oh no, they're going, oh my God, the pitch is horrible. But yeah, Shane is gone.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. He needed to be gone. Like, we need a fresh start. It's a good way to kick it off. Owens can be a babyface now. I don't know who he's going to feud with next, but it's at least something.
He's having one of the top baby faces.
Yeah, I'm just glad the Shane McMahon thing is over. It was not fun. It was painful, really painful along the way. So, bye, Shane. We'll see you at WrestleMania.
Then we have an 8-man tag where we really only have one intro.
Yeah.
So we have Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode.
But I was also like fine with that though.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I feel like with these shows where you only have 2 hours. Like, I don't care. Get these people to the ring. Like, especially if you have like all these like Roode and Ziggler do not come down together. Like, can we get them tag music together so they can come out
or mash it
at
up
the same? Yes, exactly. Like, come on. What is CFO dollar sign doing right now? Like, mash that stuff together.
CFO dollar
whatever sign. Your name is.
No, that's what we call them. We just haven't used that name
in
forever.
I know. But it's like, come on. Like, figure this stuff out. They're the tag team champions of Raw. I guess I'm not really raging.
It's a mini rage.
It's a mini rage. Yeah. But I just think when they have an 8-man tag, we don't need to see all the entrants. I'm totally fine. Just show one person.
Yeah. But yeah, they are tag champs. Didn't get an entrance. Randy Orton didn't get an entrance. U.S. champion AJ Styles didn't get an entrance.
And then also, why wasn't the OC in this match with the Orton?
They weren't even.
I know.
Why were they not at least ringside?
Yeah,
or anything?
I know. Okay.
So Dolph Rude, Orton, and AJ took on Heavy Machinery, The Miz, and Braun Strowman.
And let's just skip to the end.
Yeah. The whole point of this was boxer Tyson Fury hanging out at ringside. He has a fun pose down with Braun. Mm. Braun then throws Ziggler into the barricade, which ricocheted Fury and had him stumble over. Mm. Fury got angry, hopped to the barricade. Once the match ended, security held him off and starting the stare down. And looks like a match of some kind between Strowman and Fury.
It looks like it's
going to
be a crown jewel.
Which, sure.
I know. Do you guys think that Braun Strowman will take the role of the Big Show as far as just like fighting celebrity athletes or anything? Because he did it with Akebono and he did it with Floyd Mayweather as well.
So. The thing with that, Floyd Mayweather, though, I mean, no disrespect to Tyson Fury, but Floyd Mayweather was a name that everyone knew.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't watch boxing, so I was like, I don't even know who this guy is.
Right. Like, I've heard of him.
I never even heard of him.
I've heard of him, but people who don't normally follow other sports would not. They know Floyd Mayweather from all different news stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's crazy.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury, he's just a big dude who's a really good boxer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't like the setup. Like, the pose down was fun, but while they were posing, why didn't Ziggler kick him into the dude, into Tyson? That would have made way more sense than him picking up Ziggler and gently throwing him into Tyson Fury. You know what I mean? Like, if Braun would have made contact with him, it would have made way more sense of why they want to fight each other, why he wanted to fight him. But whatever.
No.
I mean, I don't. This is
That's all that really for that. This seems like something that's going to be happening on Raw anyway.
I'm hoping. Yeah, I know. I really hope Braun sticks.
We got other stuff we're going to have to be dealing with that we're going to talk about momentarily.
Yes.
Lumberjack match. Mm. Roman Reigns versus Eric Rowan. Dan O'Brien's on commentary and showing us why whenever he's done wrestling, he will be the best color commentator in the business.
Yeah, he will be.
He's
awesome.
Just breaking everything down to a T.
Mm-hmm. He's amazing.
Yeah. If he wants to be a heel, he's hilarious at it. But if he's just being an unbiased color commentator, he's perfect for it.
Yeah.
I found this interesting that, okay, most of the Lumberjacks were lower card guys, but there were a few guys out there, like Ricochet was out there. Like a few names that you see on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
They're out there. And apparently Eric Rowan is stronger than all of them put together.
Well, yeah. He is. I mean, they're pushing him like that. This match was too long for me, I thought.
It did go a little long.
To me, when you have a show like this and you have a main event that is being pushed as much as it was, All I do when it gets to this is just look at the clock and go, well, how much time we have left for the main event? Because, I mean, at the time, I was very much looking forward to the main event. And I just kept going, oh, there's not much time left. There's not much time left in this show. Why is this match still going? Like, I think even that tag team match was unnecessary.
Oh,
they could have had Strowman just destroy jobbers and then do something. I don't know, but okay.
But yeah, Rowan Harper, they beat up all the Lumberjacks. Rain splash knocked everyone down. Yeah. Daniel Bryan came in for the save. It was built up to the tag match at Hell in a Cell.
But I also get, why didn't we have Reigns versus Harper? We already had him versus Rowan.
Why not Bryan versus Harper?
Well, that's
Bryan versus Rowan makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they wanted Reigns on the show. Oh, sure. I know that. And I think it's like one of those where you're like, oh, we need to have Roman Reigns win because it's the first show and people were just watching, mm-hmm. which I thought was not good for the storyline,
right?
Especially heading into Sunday when you most likely knew they were going to win, which they did.
But then it all comes down to this main event: WWE Championship is on the line. Kofi Kingston winning the championship at WrestleMania, defending against the Beast, the Conqueror. The man who victimizes everyone he goes in front of him, Brock, and it's over.
It was over like 20 seconds ago.
Yeah. Didn't even need that bell. Bell rang, F5, done.
I feel like that's the only thing I can kind of say right now. Like, and it's 5 days later, and I'm still like, ugh, that noise.
Well,
but because
there was a part of me that I have a bigger issue with than just that. But I'm totally in agreement and understand everyone's issues with the fact, A, that Lesnar won, B, that he won so quickly, why Kofi couldn't kick out of an F5 where everyone else was kicked out of several, I don't know.
They had a match at that Tokyo show, and Kofi lasted way longer than this.
Yes. So, the match ends. Lesnar has the championship. Rey Mysterio's music hits, where this past Monday, Brock Lesnar pretty much murdered him and his son Dominic. Now,
which I love that part. I love that part.
That was crazy. That was amazing.
Awesome.
Now, with all the shots and everything happened with Raw, Mysterio was walking around after he got beat up, kind of walking around fine, overlooking obviously his son Dominic, taking care of him. Now on SmackDown, he shows up wearing a sling, number one, where he never was holding his arm or anything. And
Rey Mysterio, he could have come out in a neck brace, at least. Like, I think neck brace would have been better than the arm.
Or just taped up.
Well, no, but I think a neck brace would have been more like he was taking suplexes.
But the thing with Rey Mysterio, the thing that he's been known for the most
is having other guys fight his fights for him.
Is the fact that he always steps up to the giants and is the greatest underdog, biggest underdog, the biggest little man. You know, they always use that for him. So, Rey comes out with what apparently we found out on Raw is Dominic's godfather, Cain Velasquez.
I thought it was Dominic that he came out with.
Dominic grew 2 feet taller and all of a sudden grew
And cut his hair.
If you weren't listening to the commentary and don't follow UFC, you would have had no idea who that was. So, I mean, what should have happened was Rey could have came out, had an awkward stare down with Lesnar, points behind him, put on some weird music, have the name Cain Velasquez on the damn Tron, so everyone understands who the hell it is.
Yeah.
Because, again, like you said, you're not huge on boxing. I'm not the biggest UFC guy.
The only reason why I knew is because I've seen things in the wrestling news of, like, they want him to come in and wrestle.
So I guess I could step in at this point because I'm an MMA fan.
Do it.
Oh, when I saw Cain Velasquez coming out with Rey Mysterio, a part of me was just like, okay, that's pretty cool. But another part of me was just like, but is there any build-up to it? And I get that the beatdown previous to that of Dominic and Rey by Brock Lesnar, I get that. And he's just like, oh, I got a big friend next to me. And then the history between Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar is that they actually fought for the UFC heavyweight title back in 2011, I want to say.
Okay.
And Cain Velasquez actually knocked him out in the first round at around the 1 minute and 11 second mark. So there is a history between him and Brock Lesnar for that. So that's why they're playing up to that Brock kind of being intimidated by Cain Velasquez.
Which is great, and I'm fine. And I love that when there's a story involving them. So I'm cool with that. But when there's no official build, Josh, like you were saying, no real build with it, unless the commentators didn't say anything, the live crowd, if they don't watch you, they have no idea who this is. And then I'm not trying to talk down about Cain Velasquez because I want to live, because I know he'll break me in half. But I'm sorry, when I look at, in professional wrestling, when I'm looking at Brock Lesnar, and then I look at this guy take his shirt off, and he has arms that, again, I know it's different on TV from home, but I'm like, those arms don't look a whole lot bigger than mine. And I'm supposed to believe this guy can beat this guy up. I know he can,
because
he did it before.
I thought was interesting was that his facial expression did not change from when he walked to the ring, to when he got into the ring, to when he beat up Lesnar, to at the end.
Nothing changed at all.
And it's like, I get he's not a wrestler.
And,
so
and the icing on the cake, as of then, I don't know if the last day or two anything has changed. He hasn't signed with WWE.
I'm sure he has to have now. I would think, at least by now.
I would pray.
Well, I think
because if AEW somehow gets him.
But I don't think he signed with them. I think he's coming in for a match.
Right, but he has to and sign some type of contract.
Well, yes, but I don't think he's signing a long-term contract.
I don't know if you guys know this. He actually wrestled, I think last week down in Mexico for AAA for their anniversary show. He teamed up with Cody Rhodes, and I'm forgetting who else.
So he has a relationship with AEW.
Oh, my gosh. That was so funny.
If he shows
up on Dynamite tomorrow, oh, my God, could you imagine that? Could you imagine that?
Can you imagine how much angry people would be about Kofi? If that happened?
About Kofi? Oh,
about Kofi.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're already angry that he lost.
Oh, my gosh.
And then something like that happens?
If you are AEW and you want to start this war.
But.
Oh, my. Could you imagine?
But you don't. But here's the thing. You sign him and you don't even use him.
Oh,
have him show up once. Yeah. Have him show up once and he's just signed for a year and you don't use him.
Oh, my gosh. I just think that would just be insane if he just happened to show up on the show tomorrow night.
He'll be the next Rick Rude.
Even bigger, though, because like, he's just like...
Because he's wrestling.
He barely did
Rude
anything.
Rude wasn't
at
that point.
Oh, my gosh. That would be insane.
Yeah.
Oh. But yeah, the Kofi thing is... You're showing a new audience these people, and you've built this guy up, and just to make him lose that fast makes no sense, because... This Lesnar match against Kane could be not. It doesn't have to be for the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, there's so
it
many other.
Not.
Another. This is like the whole, like, Rollins thing. Another way out of it is I really thought after Monday, oh, Rey Mysterio is going to help Kofi win. And that's how he's going to beat Lesnar, at least.
Okay.
And then maybe you bring in Velasquez.
Yeah. You could have, like, the bell, or just before the bell, or right as the bell sounds. Ray's music hits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it might have not even had an actual match. Like, all of a sudden, Velasquez might have showed up, and Brock just runs for it. And there was the match never started.
Uh-huh. And then Kofi still has the belt, and I just feel like you're trying to... The whole opening of SmackDown is nothing but Kofi Kingston. Like, granted, they're probably going to change that after, but the first person you see when the graphics open and the show open is Kofi.
Yeah.
So it's like you were building this whole thing around him, and now it's like, well, I guess he's going to do something else now, because it doesn't seem like he's going to get a rematch, at least not right now. Maybe Survivor Series.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
So,
well,
yeah.
I know Gabby's not here, but Tom, you apparently
I have
some wrestling rap items for us.
First thing we'll start off with, ratings for SmackDown.
Let's do it.
Because it's a couple days later, we actually get the ratings.
Hey, we have those.
They did a 3.888 million viewers for their first night of SmackDown. It did jump above 4 million during the Rock segment, and then evened out to be like 3.8.
So it averaged around 3.8.
Yeah, okay. Which is almost 4 million viewers, which is like the highest ratings that they've had.
That's like double what they normally get.
Yeah, in years.
Yeah.
For a show. I mean, will it stay that high? We'll have to see this week. I think that'll be a big question of... You know, how can they keep up this ratings?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, being on Fox, it's going to be way bigger audience. And then the kickoff show was apparently the number two rated show. That at 2.3 for the night. So it beat out baseball. It beat out the Yankees Twins game. It beat out the Dodgers Nationals game.
Beat out baseball playoffs. I love it.
Yeah. And a football game drew 1 point. I don't know what football game it was. But
the Thursday night football game?
No, for Friday night. It was, I don't know.
Oh, college football.
College football. But, I mean, that's That's good for them. I mean,
absolutely, it's great.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll
after
have that.
That
"Did you know" thing flash during during this week's SmackDown.
Exactly.
About it.
Yeah. Second news, not the best news. WWE superstar Jeff Hardy.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Was arrested again for a DUI on Friday night while everyone else was at SmackDown. I mean, it's just, it's really sad.
He was in a wrestling rap a few months ago with the same story.
This has been the third time this year that he's been arrested.
So once a season, pretty much.
Yeah.
We're in the month 10 of the year.
Yeah.
And he's been arrested three times for this.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was stopped by the officers. He had dried blood in and around his nose. Apparently, there was some kind of earlier fight with his wife. He admitted taking two shots of vodka, but bombed the sobriety test and admitted that he was impaired. And then, you know, got arrested. I mean, we still don't know what's going to happen with that, but, I mean, it's sad, really, when it comes down to it. Like,
we've talked about it on this show before. Yeah. You know, like, I know he's gone to rehab. I know people have tried to reach out to help him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in the position to say what should or what more can be done, but obviously something clearly is not getting through, and something has to get done in some fashion, because I mean, he's going to get seriously hurt.
Yeah, or hurt someone else.
Or hurt someone
driving
else
while he's drunk. Like,
or
yeah,
someone else. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we're ever going to see him back in WWE at this point.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's either they just let him sit out. But, I mean, the thing that sucks is that I feel like when he's on the road, he's not like, this doesn't happen.
No, it only happens when he's hurt.
When he's hurt. So it's, I don't know. And it's not like he's going to not get hurt again.
The way he wrestles.
Yeah. But we just wish you the best, Jeff. And I hope, you know, you get the help that you need.
Absolutely.
Last news. Where'd my thing go?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I know it anyway.
Okay, what is it?
So, apparently, a Hall of Famer may be returning to the ring.
A Hall of Famer. Yes. WWE Hall of Famer.
WWE Hall of Famer, yes.
I have not heard this story.
Reports are that Edge was in Pittsburgh for business, which Pittsburgh is where Dr. Maroon is based, who's their head doctor that gives people clearance to get back into the ring. And apparently, I saw something last week where it said he was clear. He is trying to get cleared or was cleared.
Well, when he gave that spear to Elias like a month or two ago, that's when everyone's just like, wait a minute.
So, Edge may be coming back. What do you think of that?
They would have to build it right for one match, if they were. Mm. I don't want him to, like, the way he ended, I know it was sudden, but his career ended with him winning a ladder match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and retiring as champion.
Retiring as champion. Getting the Hall of Fame. It's really, you couldn't really have asked for a better send-off, even though it wasn't expected.
Yeah.
Because what worries me is that he's going to get the clearance to come back, and then he's going to be in a Saudi Arabia show. Like, he'll be on Team Hogan.
Mm.
And it was just like, and that's what it is.
Yeah, like a Michaels.
Right.
From last year.
And I don't want that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I love Edge. I thought he was a great wrestler, and I'm a big fan of his. Even, you know, outside of the ring, like, Edge or Christian Podcast is a great show to listen to. And
didn't they stop that?
He left it. He left the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's... It's kind of influx, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want him to come back. First off, I'm more worried for his well-being, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
He was told that if you take one more bump
the wrong way,
you're paralyzed.
Yeah.
Like, I get it's been years and, you know, maybe you've healed, but I just don't think that... To me, I just personally don't think it's a good idea.
No.
He has children and a wife and, like, it's like... You can be a commentator. You can do a million other things. Like, I mean, look at someone like Corey Graves. Like, he had too many concussions, and now look at him now. Like, I mean, granted, the commentary spaces are filled up pretty fast now, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of this decision it happens.
So, we'll see what happens.
You saying the whole Team Hogan thing? Like,
if it were to happen, it's going to be something like that, and we're not going to be happy about it.
Yeah.
All right, but we got a quick little predictions. Our buddy Mr. Farmer on the Raw After Buzz actually had a great idea. Since the draft is coming up this week, He picked four people that he felt were, you know, key for Raw to have. Mm-hmm. And Tom and I are going to pick the four people that we feel will be key for SmackDown to have.
Yep.
To wrap this up. So do you want to name your four off real quick, or do you want me to?
You go first.
All right. So the four that I thought of off the top of my head that I think would be great. Now, we're excluding anyone who's currently a champion.
I know. I thought of someone that I had to take them off.
All right. So no current champions are on this list. But four that I think would be benefit for the Fox audience for SmackDown. First off, Ali needs to stay put because he is the good guy, the guy that people can look up to for that audience on Fox. After what Kevin Owens just did with the ladder match firing Shane, I think he's going to be like the top face and could eventually turn heel like that. We know how good he is. He should stay put. Andrade with a Hispanic audience, I think 100% should stay on or move back. I guess he is on Raw right now. I don't know what show they're on.
He's on SmackDown.
He should be there.
Was on SmackDown.
And then Daniel Bryan, I think, should stay put as well.
No ladies?
I'm only picking four.
I know.
And again, we're not counting champions.
Okay.
But,
I was like, you could pick Charlotte. And I was like, she's a champion now.
Yeah, I'm just picking four people for now. But obviously, Charlotte would stay. You know, I'd be kind of curious on which women stay. Because if Charlotte's staying on SmackDown, then Becky would probably stay on Raw.
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, I kind of would want Becky on SmackDown.
But and maybe Sasha on SmackDown, Bayley on Raw, if they were to separate them.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know if you want to separate them.
I don't know either.
It's a real hard draft this time.
Yeah.
And it seems weird that they're kind of saying, like, oh, the executives at NBC and the executives at Fox.
Yeah, it's not a GM. It's the networks.
I want to know who's picking the... Did we talk about the idea that I had, or no? Did we talk about it off the...
I think you told me about it, but I'm drawing a blank.
My idea for the draft would be the roster picks itself. Like whoever's the first pick gets to pick the second pick. So if it's Reigns, he picks who he wants on SmackDown with him. And then the next person, then they have to like kind of work as a team, as a brand all together. So it's like, oh, you may want a bad guy because he's good, but do we really want him want to have to deal with him?
Right.
Kind of thing. I thought it would be an interesting way. I pick Daniel Bryan stays.
Okay.
I think Authors of Pain come to SmackDown.
Okay.
Because I feel like Viking Warriors are going to stay on
That's
Raw
fine.
Also. I think they'd be a good team, especially they've had awesome matches against Revival. Does that count as one or two?
I'll count as one.
Okay. I'm going to say Carmella stays on SmackDown.
Okay.
And one more. I think... I mean, I agree with you. Ali. Yeah.
Okay.
Ali's got to stay, too.
And Dang MQ in the chat, real quick, also mentioned Ronda.
Yeah.
Ronda, you put Ronda on SmackDown with the Fox audience. That also makes sense whenever she's ready to come back. We want to know who you think is going to end up on SmackDown. And then next week, we'll have a full breakdown of the draft because both SmackDown and Raw will be completed. So we'll be able to break down what we like, what we don't like from the draft. And you could chat with us on various forms of social media. Tom Connolly, I could be reached out to.
Find me Twitter, Instagram, TomTheCom. Also check out my Etsy store, Connolly Central, and Connolly Central on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, so now because of my name, Justin here, social media has changed, everybody. It has changed. Warning you now. Twitter, Instagram.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
No, Twitter and Instagram are both at Josh_Tariff. Josh_Tariff. If you're already following me, it just changed the name. But if you haven't followed me yet, Josh_Tariff, that's where you find me. And for all the other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow me on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Tom Connolly, I'm Josh Tariff. We'll see you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.